Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Welcome to the Red Zone here on KCChiefs.com. That's right, this is not the voice of Soren Petro, but Josh Looney filling in for Soren Petro here on a Wednesday, where you can find us live each Wednesday on KCChiefs.com for the Red Zone, or you can find it in the archives, or download it for iTunes on the podcast. Soren Petro out today, and if you're a listener of 810 WHB, he's been out all week on his show there as well. He's expecting a new member of the family. That's right, Soren and his wife are expecting another child this week, so a big congratulations to Soren Petro and Mrs. Soren Petro on the birth of their new child that is to be expected. So you get an hour with me, Josh Looney here, and we've got a good show lined up for you. Brandon Carr is scheduled to join us, the Chiefs cornerback, the only cornerback, actually the only player really, in the 2008 draft class from those Kansas City Chiefs that has started all 32 games of his career. A little bit of a surprise when you think of the guys that were in that class: Brandon Albert, Glenn Dorsey, Brandon Flowers. All those guys have missed a start due to injury over the course of their 2 years in Kansas City, except Brandon Carr. So this is a guy who's been reliable for the Chiefs, and he's a very important part of the Chiefs puzzle, and we'll talk to him about what he can expect for the defense under Romeo Crennel this year, what his personal goals are, and just kind of where he thinks this whole ship is heading as this defense tries to improve and the overall team looks to improve from a four-win season a year ago to I think there's a lot more expectation placed on this club for 2010. We'll also do a little bit of a recap of rookie weekend. How much can you learn from a group of guys that were just in shorts and helmets and t-shirts? Well, not a lot, but it was a week of first impressions, so we'll talk about the first impressions I took from each of the Chiefs' seven draft choices. A little bit of news yesterday, we'll talk about David Grimes, one of the tryout players, assigns a free agent contract with Kansas City. Pretty much an interesting a choice there. Some competition. The guy's got some return experience. He's a smaller wide receiver, so you look at the Dexter McClusters of the world, the Lance Longs, it looks like there's going to be another guy added to that mix, so we'll see what he's got when OTAs open up, and there'll be a lot of good position battles. We'll give you a little bit of a schedule on that. OTAs start May 17th here for the Kansas City Chiefs. May 16th is when all of the rookies can come back from they're back home right now. The NCAA rules have, and they can come back on May 16th. It's the first time they're allowed on campus, and they'll get right back to work with the veterans on May 17th. So you look at the rookie weekend this week in Kansas City, and it opens your eyes. Wow, it's a whole new group, a whole new fresh crop of new faces on this Chiefs team, which also tells you that last year's class, the Tyson Jacksons, the Alex McGees, the Donald Washingtons, that core are now veterans. We have to not think of them as rookies anymore, so much more will be expected from the year, group of year two guys, and same with the guys from 2008 that we'll talk to with Brandon Carr and his class that go from year two to year three. So finally, we're starting to see a base of draft picks built up in Kansas City, not something we've seen really in a handful of years, if you think about it. Going back three drafts, now you're going to have considerable amount of the team is built through those three drafts, and if you look at 2007, 2008, you couldn't necessarily say the same thing for the drafts prior to that. So finally, the Chiefs are building things around the draft, and ultimately that's how you obtain long-term success. So we'll look at rookie weekend and what those new faces brought right after we turn here on KCChiefs.com.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope.
This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs up to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20, he's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate, Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back to the Red Zone on kcchiefs.com. Josh Looney filling in for an absent Soren Petro here on a Wednesday, as we talked about in our opening. Rookie camp was this weekend here at Arrowhead in the Chiefs practice facility. 33 players were on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs. They represented 11 undrafted signees, 7 of the Chiefs draft picks, headlined on by, obviously, by Eric Berry there at the number 5 overall pick. You had 7 first-year players. Those were guys that were pretty much on the practice squad for the majority of the year last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. I guess the exception to the rule there would be safety Ricky Price, played in 2 games for the Chiefs a season ago, but still doesn't have one full season, at least by NFL standards, so he's what they call a 1, where if you look at the difference, a 2 player would be a rookie last year, oh, say like an Alex McGee, a guy who played in over 6 games for the Kansas City Chiefs or was on an active roster for over 6 weeks on a roster, a 53-man roster, so that would be a 2. So that's your difference between your 1s and your 2s. So there were 7 of those guys, and then there were 8 tryout players, which one of those 8 tryout players was wide receiver David Grimes. Obviously, he signed yesterday. The news came out yesterday evening on kcchiefs.com that David Grimes did get a free agent contract after his tryout. He actually was not a rookie, though, and qualified as one of those guys like Maurice Price, Chandler Williams, Jermail Porter, those guys from the practice squad a year ago. He was a 1 because he actually graduated in 2008 from Notre Dame with Charlie Weiss and ended up in the Broncos training camp last year and was on their roster in the spring and summer, but ultimately was cut before opening day for the Denver Broncos. So what all did we learn from this year's draft class? We got to see all 7 of the Chiefs draft picks on the podium. They talked to the media for the first time, and really it was their chance to offer a first impression for people. It was the first time that Chiefs fans were able to see them, their new draft picks on television. It was the first time that these sound clips got played on the radio, and ultimately it was one of the first times that you could have extended quotes in print from these guys other than just a phone call. So it was a very important week for these rookies, not just on the field but off the field, as they were able to give first impressions for each one of them. So that's what I want to talk about today. We'll go with my first impressions of each one of these players. Kind of if you listen to their press conferences, just kind of try and put a tag on their first impression and what they spoke and what they meant to me. Well, we'll go right down the list here and start with the first guy, the first round, 5th overall pick, defensive back Eric Berry. Here's a guy who left me with the impression of NFL ready. He talked a lot about Monty Kiffin and what Monty Kiffin went and meant to him in his tenure in Tennessee. Obviously, he talked about the impact that his father had, a former Tennessee great, in Eric Berry's father there. And, you know, though the depth charts won't come out until the preseason opener at Atlanta, you probably won't see many official depth charts by the Chiefs this offseason during the OTAs, during the training camp, until they line up there right before that preseason opener against the Falcons. Expectations are still high for Eric Berry, and really expectations for him aren't a starting role. The questions from the media were kind of like that. All the other players were questions, how do you want to contribute? And to Eric, it was more like, how do you take a leadership role, and what are your plans on being a starter immediately in this league? I guess that's kind of the life for a top five draft pick, fair or not. Putting really that learning curve just shortens a lot when it comes to a first-round pick, a top five pick. You don't have the length of time to acclimate that even the Dexter McCluster does at pick 36 or Javier Arenas at pick 50. Expectations are far different. In fact, I think that expectations are much different for a top 10 pick than they are for a guy like Dwayne Bowe, who goes into the mid to late first rounds for that first season. So he's definitely got the microscope on him. But if anybody can succeed with the resume they have, I think it's Eric Berry. Here's some of the things he had to say that made me think that he was NFL ready.
Really, he was just showing me a lot of the things that the NFL, the way they do things, as far as the practices, the procedures, how they prepare for practice, pretty much the same meeting schedules and things like that. I mean, it's almost pretty much the same, you know, with minus the class stuff. Like when we didn't have class, the schedule is pretty much the same as it is now. And I think he's really prepared me for this level.
So from those quotes, you can say, luckily for Berry, with those expectations placed on him by people outside this organization and people inside this organization, he's not starting particularly at ground zero when it comes to discovering what it is that the NFL works, because he's been there with one of the great coaches in Monty Kiffin, a guy who was a longtime defensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and who's now in the college level and now with his son Lane over at USC now. And so Eric Berry has had the proper prep work to hopefully make that transition go over a bit easier at this level. The second guy on the list here, Dexter McCluster, the first impression that he gives off, really, is the impression he has to give off to have success in this league, is versatile. Here's a guy who on Friday lines up in his first practice of rookie camp with the Chiefs at wide receiver, and then Saturday comes along and Dexter McCluster is with the running backs. What is he? Is he a wide receiver? He's a running back. Well, his primary position for the Chiefs will be wide receiver. You would think that the majority of the time, Dexter McCluster will line up out of that slot position. But his versatility is where he excels. He's a guy who can take some snaps out of the Wildcat. He did that at Ole Miss. He's a guy who can play running back, and he's a guy who can even play in the outside spot and not just the slot receiver on the edge. He can also return kicks. His versatility was already apparent this weekend. Those were his first impressions without words. But when he talked, obviously the questions came on how can you handle so many roles, Dexter?
This week has been great. You know, leading up until the draft, it seemed like it would never get here, but it's here now. So I want to make sure I stay in the playbook and do whatever I can do. I'll be able to handle it. Saying wherever Coach Haley needs me to be, that's where I'm going to be. It really doesn't matter. Wherever he puts me, you're going to get the same guy.
So he says he's going to be able to handle it. Well, in college, McCluster's head coach, Houston Nutt, He utilized this player as a running back primarily, which will be different than what he is in Kansas City, but he still did those same things, slot outside, Wildcat, and actually he may be more involved in the return game here at the pro level than he was at Ole Miss, because over the last 2 years of his career at Ole Miss, McCluster's touches, kind of like Jamaal Charles at the end of the season last year for the Chiefs, in the special teams return game started to be decreased because his role in the offense started to increase. So they wanted to kind of keep tabs on his touches down there, overall touches, receiving touches, running touches, and return touches. They wanted to keep that under a certain number at Ole Miss, and that's expected when you have a big playmaker like that, especially a smaller playmaker. But as we know in Kansas City, that was kind of the problem that the Chiefs ran into last year with Jamaal Charles. Kind of a double-edged sword if you think about it with Charles. Here's a guy whose touches kept increasing to the point where he was pushing 30 a game when you added all things in, and you kind of wanted to get those 4 to 5 returns out of the way and keep him down there in the low to mid-20s. But then the problem with that is there was no one in the return game who would be able to take on that load. So you're losing a playmaker in the return game, but you would also be overworking your playmaker on offense. So it's kind of a double-edged sword for the Chiefs. Hopefully McCluster and this next pick, Javier Arenas, at pick number 50 of the second round, can alleviate that. Because right now it looks like Javier Arenas and Dexter McCluster are your two leaders to compete with one another for the primary kickoff and punt return duties for the 2010 season. Who knows? There could be another dark horse candidate in there. But right now, as it stands, you'd have to think that these two guys are going to get a long look and a fair shot to compete with one another. And who knows? They both might be back there on kickoffs. We'll have to see just how Steve Hoffman, the Chiefs special teams coach, draws up and diagrams these plays. But Javier Arenas, the funny thing about him, he's another smaller guy. He's only about, 5'9", and close to 200 pounds. He's a small guy. So when you think about him, you think return man. You think small nickel corner. But that wasn't the first impression that this guy gave me at all this weekend at the Chiefs rookie camp. This guy gave me the first impression of a bulldog, an absolute hard hitter. He talked about playing good ball, which was hard ball. He's thick, he's stout, he carries himself. You can tell the guy likes to hit. You can tell the guy was a blitzer at the college level. Javier Arenas is not your typical small return specialist slash cornerback. This guy's sturdy, he's big. He almost reminds me of a little bit taller version of a defensive Darren Sproles. You know, Sproles is the small guy with those huge legs who can churn through defenders. So he's not your Dante Hall shifty guy. He's a shifty guy that carries a punch. I kind of viewed Javier Arenas a little bit like that, a 5'9", 200-pound guy. Look at the videos on KCChiefs.com, Chiefs fans. This guy's got a thick neck. He's sturdy. He's well-built. I think he's going to be a hitter. I think this guy is going to be a bulldog. Here's what Javier Arenas had to say about his game here this past weekend.
Nah, I mean, I'm just, whatever I'm told to do is what I'm going to do. I'm like a kid, you know, when parents tell a kid to do something, he's going to do it, and that's how I am. I'm ready to compete and do whatever I can, you know, to make the team better. I mean, I like to compete. I think it has a lot to do with me wanting to compete. And, you know, I guess you could kind of say I'm physical, and it's something that I just like to do. I like to make plays that way.
Well, it's that mentality right there. That's why Nick Saban was able to utilize Arenas up at the line of scrimmage, blitzing off the edge, and being more than just a cover corner and more than just a return specialist. This guy might be a really fun one to watch, and he might light up some guys here in the preseason games and hopefully during the regular season games if he is able to get himself into the rotation in a very competitive defensive backfield. 15 DBs right now on this Chiefs roster. You can argue that 11 to 12 of them can play multiple positions. Javier Arenas, one of those guys who can play multiple positions and do multiple things for this defense. The third round pick, the first of the three, offensive lineman John Asamoah, 68th overall. He's from Illinois. My impression on him, this guy's able to adapt. He's smart. He's cerebral. He has all sorts of academic honors that he got at the University of Illinois. He's obviously got the football honors. He was just, on Monday, he was awarded the Big Ten Medal of Honor. It's the most prestigious honor of any athlete that any athlete can receive at the University of Illinois and really any Big Ten Conference school. It shows athletic and academic and off-the-field excellence in an athletic environment. The award's been going out since 1914. So John Asamoah awarded that at the University of Illinois Intercollegiate Athletics Awards Banquet just this past Monday night. Ron Zook had some great things to say about John Asamoah there. But for him at this next level, it takes more than smarts to succeed on the offensive line. You obviously have to be a physical player, but you've got to be able to adapt to the way things are thrown at you because times are changing. So many things are changing. Not only are you a rookie, but you're going to get the book thrown at you to learn multiple positions. Guard is much different than center, and center is the one where you have the position on the offensive line where you have to know what everyone's doing. You're making the calls, you're reading the defenses, you're looking at the front in front of you, and you're almost like an accessory to Matt Castle. You are the Matt Castle of the offensive line, and Matt Castle, or whoever the Chiefs quarterback is throughout the years, is going to look at that center for an original call at the line, and it may help with the audibles that go forward. So John Asamoah, to me, is an adapter. Here's a guy who went through three offensive line coaches at the University of Illinois, so why not add a fourth in 4 years? Shouldn't be a problem to him. Here's Asamoah talking about what he had to adapt to when he was in college at the University of Illinois.
Just getting used to, you know, new coaches. You know, you kind of
yeah, Illinois, you kind of get comfortable, you know, with the guys around. Even though I had 3 O-line coaches and, you know, 4 years, you get comfortable. So just getting, you know, used to new coaches and getting that whole playbook thrown at you. Coach Zook was a, you know, a fiery, you know, demanding guy. So when I have, you know, coaches, you know, fiery on me, you know, I'm not going to crawl into my shell. I'm just going to get out there and work. So.
Well, the role of a swing man is vital to the offensive line and a 45-man roster. That's right, not 53-man roster. I said 45. Those are the active guys on game day. And obviously, special teams players need to be part of that 45-man package. So your offensive lineman, when you go to game day, the more you can do, the better, and the more of an asset you are to your team on game day. If Asamoah can effectively learn how to play center and both guard positions, this guy will be in line to, if he's not a starter, be in the mix every single week on the offensive line, because that's what you're looking for. You saw what Wade Smith could do a year ago. Now, he was the ultimate utility man up front, able to play both tackle positions, both guard positions, and center. But a typical swing man there in the middle, Chris Bober did it for years here and was just a backup. And Asamoah may project to be a better professional than Chris Bober was, but Bober was able to make a career out of himself just being able to be a reliable backup in that swing position. He could play center and he could play guard. And there's a very important spot on an NFL roster for those guys. So Asamoah, if he can develop into a starter, that's even better. But even this year, if he can immediately step in and be a reliable first man off the bench for those three spots, left guard, center, and right guard, then the Chiefs will really have some flexibility with their offensive line on game day when it comes to deciding which 45 of your 53 men will be dressed and active on the game day roster. You go down to the third round into another pick in Tony Moyaki, the 93rd overall choice in the third round, the second of the Chiefs' 2 third-rounders and the final third-round pick. And really, this guy just comes across as humble. We've heard the sound clips, and we'll play them here in a minute for you on KCChiefs.com. This guy's athletic. He can split out, but he has the unfair comparisons to Tony Gonzalez. Oh, you're athletic. You play tight end, and you can catch the ball, and you don't have to have your hand in the ground. Well, there's a guy that used to do that here, and his name's Tony Gonzalez. Okay, well, that may not be a fair comparison, but it's always going to be what you're compared to if you play tight end in Kansas City and you're more than just a blocker. And that's what the Chiefs hope that Tony Moyaki is. Now, Tony Moyaki, he doesn't want to have any bit of you comparing him with Tony Gonzalez. Why? Well, because he's just not ready for that just yet.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make the team, you know. He has a billion catches. I have 0, so just trying to make the team and help the team in any way as possible.
Have you heard the comparisons? There have been a couple of comparisons between you and Dallas Clark while he was at Iowa, while you were at Iowa, with the playmaking ability with the ball in your hands. Have you heard that comparison before?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, it's like he's an NFL, has like a billion catches, I have 0. So, you know, the only thing we had in common is we both played at Iowa. So.
That line's great right there. He's got a billion catches, I have 0. He laughs. He's kind of like, well, are you guys really asking me this? I don't think Moyaki had kind of known about the culture here in Kansas City and the history of tight ends in this organization. I don't think he was prepared for that question. About 5 questions later, Moyaki gets asked, well, do you compare yourself to Dallas Clark? And he kind of gave the same look, like, are you serious? And basically, Dallas Clark and me only have the similarity of having been played at the University of Iowa. And so it was funny, and he seems like a humble guy, a genuine guy, and that's the attitude you need if you come into this league as a rookie and if you come into this Kansas City Chiefs roster as a rookie and playing under Todd Haley and under Scott Pioli and the rest of this staff, because really they want to see results on the field. And right now, whether you're the number 5 overall pick or if you're a guy who was the last pick for the Chiefs, Cameron Sheffield this year, they want to see production. And the guys that produce are going to be the guys who are going to play. You go back down, Kendrick Lewis, if you didn't read the blog, XEMT, that's a abbreviation, it stands for Extra Effort Mental Toughness, posted it on Tuesday on KCChiefs.com. Go ahead and read that. I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version. This is a guy who, In a word, just kept persevering. And part of that was in 2005 when Kendrick Lewis lost everything. Hurricane Katrina. He's from Algiers, Louisiana, which is in the heart and center of New Orleans. He was living in a rough neighborhood. and everything was washed away. He had stayed out of trouble. He had gotten himself to where he was a top prospect and needed a good senior year to go ahead and secure that college scholarship. He hadn't committed anywhere yet, and he hadn't, I believe, at the time when his home was washed away due to Katrina, didn't have a scholarship offer just then. He scrambled around, found a place to play over in Gainesville, Georgia. He was one of the thousands of evacuees from New Orleans. You heard all the stories of the kids that's kind of worlds got turned upside down and had to go to school somewhere else. There was over 46,000 of them in the state of Texas alone. Kendrick Lewis goes over to Georgia and he picks things up, and he still gets the reward of everything he had worked so hard for that looked like it had been blown away by winds in a storm in New Orleans. And he's able to get that scholarship to Ole Miss. And 5 years later, after he'd lost everything from Katrina, he's now here in the NFL. And he's probably just one contract away, or a few years away. I guess he is a fifth-round pick. He's probably a few years away in this league of being able to completely rebuild his family's state of well-being, because this is a family who the last 5 years has had to rebuild up from ground zero due to what happened in Hurricane Katrina. So he talks a little bit about that and his attitude towards football and towards life in his media session this past weekend.
You know, when I was in Katrina, you know, I was forced with a bad situation, you know, and, you know, I had to move on. I couldn't just stop there and just give up everything that I worked so hard for. So, you know, it's adversity, so you have to overcome it.
Well, I think it's safe to say that the adversity that Lewis faced in dealing with Katrina is going to trump anything that he has to face on the football field, whether it be a blown coverage, whether it be a slow 40 time like he had at the combine that dropped his draft status and his draft stock. This is a guy who, if anyone can persevere through adversity, it is this guy. So he gives me the impression of a fighter, and he also gives me the impression of a versatile guy where you can't write this guy off as being a four-down player. I think most people want to pigeonhole him right now. Oh, fifth-round pick, safety, competitive area. We've got a lot of defensive backs now on this roster. People want to pigeonhole Kendrick Lewis as a special teams player. Don't be so quick to do that. Keep an eye out for him in training camp. Maybe he's just a few big plays away, a few picks away from going right into that rotation and having a bigger role than one might think. This is a guy who not only led the Ole Miss Rebels in tackles back-to-back years, but he was also a guy who led him in interceptions, second in pass defense, blocked two kicks, so he's fast, he can hit. This is a guy to keep your eye on, Chiefs fans. A possible fifth-round steal. We'll see what happens with Kendrick Lewis and his NFL career. And then the final of the Chiefs draft picks, it was the 142nd overall pick, Cameron Sheffield. And obviously this guy gives you the impression of transition player. We've talked about it. Outside linebackers in the 3-4 defense, they're typically all former defensive ends. The Chiefs roster is no different. Mike Vrabel, Pierre Walters, Andy Studebaker, and Tom Bahali, all defensive ends at one point in their career. This guy, Cameron Sheffield from Troy, he had a pretty easy going with it this weekend, but things are going to get much, much harder. But right now, Cameron Sheffield is happy with the transition that he's going through that he experienced at the Chiefs rookie minicamp.
We had a few packages in Troy where I stood up, played outside linebacker. So it's nothing hard to do. You know, it's just, you know, put a little extra work into it to try to perfect it. It's a slight change, but, you know, I'm more than capable of making the adjustments.
So those are your seven Chiefs draft picks and seven of the 33 players who participated in this past weekend's minicamp. And those were the first impressions I got. You guys will be able to form your own first impressions probably when you see them at training camp, if you come and visit us in St. Joseph, or if you're waiting until you can see them on TV and the Chiefs on TV at in the preseason and ultimately in the regular season. That might be when you get your first impression of these players. And really, as athletes on the field, that's all we have right now for those of us that saw these guys practice and heard from these guys is a first impression. You can't judge a lot from running around in shorts and practices without veteran players. But right now, that's what I took away from the seven of the Chiefs draft picks of 2010. And we'll get back to more draft talk, more rookie weekend talk, and more Chiefs talk right after this on the Red Zone here on KCChiefs.com.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. that a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer, 120, a jet engine, that studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Hey, Chiefs fans. I'm Josh Looney of kcchiefs.com.
And I am the internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but kcchiefs.com is legit.
I know. At kcchiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back to the Red Zone on kcchiefs.com. Josh Looney filling in for Soren Petro. He's away, waiting the birth of yet another child in that household. We wish Soren all the luck, but while he's out, producer Brad Young has pilfered through Soren's mailbags. We'll open up a few emails here for some Red Zone listeners across the country, and I will answer my these questions as best as I can, as if I were Soren Petro. First one comes from Bruce in Blue Springs. Bruce writes, what is the difference between OTAs, rookie camp, mini camp, training camp, and whatever else kind of camp, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Isn't it all the same? Do players actually attend these? I am confused. Bruce, you're confusing me when you list all of them down. We'll start with OTAs. That's an acronym for Organized Team Activities. And basically what those are in the NFL is spring practices. And no, they are not mandatory. Each one of those is voluntary. Wink, wink. Yeah, it's kind of a suggested voluntary, if you will. They're actual practice sessions. And really, from the Chiefs' perspective, you may have some guys that don't make every single one of them, whether they have a family circumstance or whatnot. But outside of Brian Waters and Mike Vrabel, you can pretty much expect the rest of these players on the roster to be at almost 100% of these things. It's not too uncommon for veteran players to miss these things. If you remember when Tony Gonzalez was here in Kansas City, he'd rarely make an OTA. Brian Waters has always been this way. Mike Vrabel last year when he didn't make it, some people were a little worried about, did he want to be in Kansas City? Did he not want to be in Kansas City? When he came in, he said, that doesn't have anything to do with it. He said, he's a big labor's rights guy with the NFLPA, and he said, it's my right as a player to use this offseason. If it's not mandatory, I don't need to be in. Typically, guys that with that attitude, that carry that attitude, are the guys who are doing the right things at home, however, because when you get to the age of a Mike Vrabel and a Brian Waters and you don't go to these organized team activities, well, typically you're doing the right things to stay in the league that long. Obviously, for the younger players trying to make their name in this league, they pretty much know that they need to be at these unless they have a pretty valid excuse. But technically, they are all not mandatory, except for the veteran minicamp. That will usually takes place the first week of June. I believe it will take place a week later this year here in Kansas City. That is mandatory. That's one where players can be fined for not going. And then, obviously, training camp is mandatory, too. And you have guys that hold out in new contracts. You know, that makes news every year across the NFL. When our players are being fined by the day, fined, you know, after 2 days, it's you and I's yearly salary, Bruce, that has already been given to the club. So that hopefully that answers that. The rookie camp, I guess you asked about, that one's just straight up rookies, just like it sounds. These are guys where they can come in, get a weekend of work, and the odd thing is they come in like this past weekend they did in Kansas City, and then they're gone. They have to stay off NFL campuses based off of the graduation date of their respective college. Then they can come back. The first day they can come back to Kansas City is May 16th. If you remember, Bruce, last year, Donald Washington, the cornerback out of Ohio State, he was the guy who didn't get into OTAs until maybe the last four or five. It was mid-June because of Ohio State's trimester system. Are there any Chiefs under that category this year? Yes, there is one. It's Tony Moyaki at the University of Iowa. However, Moyaki will be able to be here on May 16th and for the first OTA on May 17th because he is the exception. He has already graduated from the University of Iowa, so he will not be held accountable for their graduation date. So, Bruce, that's every camp you can think of, rookie camp, mini camp, training camp, and OTAs. We will go into the mailbag next. It's from Marty from, there you go, Lincoln, Nebraska. Brad, that's your alma mater's hometown and your home state. And Marty from Lincoln wants to know, how long does it typically take a player, a defensive end player in college, to transition to the 3-4 defense effectively? Is there really that much of a difference? Well, Marty, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. If you're talking about a defensive end in college transferring to an outside linebacker at the in the 3-4 defense, or possibly a bigger defensive end in college shuffling in to a nose tackle in the 3-4, or maybe a 4-3 defensive end into a 3-4 defensive end or defensive tackle. Either way, on the defensive line, you've heard Coach Haley and Scott Peely talk about it a lot. Usually, they want to judge the progress of a player regardless of defense. Defensive scheme and regardless of position along the defensive front after that first year. And I think it's a big year to evaluate Tyson Jackson. Glenn Dorsey, to me, took a step up. I thought he was much quicker off the football and had yet another year under his belt. Those guys in the trenches, they can't just overpower the NFL guys the way they did in college when they were probably the best player. There was very few that can compete with them lining up across. So keep your eye on the big two this year, Ndamukong Suh with Detroit and Joe McCoy with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll just see kind of what their numbers look like. What's a little more interesting to me are the defensive ends that are transferring to 3-4 outside linebackers, Marty. And this is because these guys are all projections. They're so hard to draft because almost every one of these guys played defensive end in college. Almost every 3-4 outside linebacker was a defensive end in college at one point. Some, like here in Kansas City, were actually professional defensive ends before they ended up switching. Mike Vrabel was the case when he entered the league with Pittsburgh, and obviously Tom Bahali was drafted in and played defensive end with the Kansas City Chiefs. I find this one really interesting, though, because of the projection standpoint. How are you taking a guy that has his hand in the dirt and looking at his frame and then deciding what point you draft these guys to play an entirely new position? And yes, this position is different. You have to do zone drops. You have to do run reads and pass reads. They're much different playing at the second level, your run read and your pass read, than if you're a defensive lineman. You have to be screen worthy. You have to move with motion. In defensive line, maybe you're just moving one gap and doing something similar based off of a motion switch. At outside linebacker, it could roll your coverage. You might have covered two on one side of the field and cover three on the other. And as the motion switches, that other side's going from 2 to 3, and obviously yours will be vice versa. So you have to be smart and listen to your safeties and your secondary calls. Listen to your linebackers that are making the calls at the line of scrimmage with a tight end shifting over. If there's a running back that comes out of the backfield, sometimes the inside linebacker, if there's no longer a good matchup and your safeties are already a man up or covering, sometimes you get into a tricky situation where the inside linebacker changes the coverage and goes into a zone. You have to be able to figure that out and listen to that. Another thing, the inside linebacker could pass a guy off to you and all of a sudden you're manning up. The Chiefs specifically do a lot of zone drops with their linebackers. I guess you could call them spot drops. They're dropping to a spot, but sometimes you do have to man up, and it's a tough thing. And another tough thing to do is, like Tamba Hali on the backside this year, he did struggle at times, it seemed, on containing those back cutbacks. And it's a patient flow that you do when you're a backside linebacker and you can fill a gap coming forward from that opposite angle. And these are all things that are much different than a defensive end had to deal with. And some guys can do it, some guys can't. And that's what the trick is in these guys like a Cameron Sheffield. And you see a lot of these linebackers, these outside linebackers in 3-4s, drafted there in the 5th round, drafted in the 4th round, drafted in the 6th and 7th round. Now, the college defenses are changing a little bit. There are some guys that are NFL ready that will go a little bit higher this past year. You think of a Jerry Hughes out of TCU. You think of Brandon Graham out of Michigan. Some of those guys were a bit already had some experience there. But the majority are straight-up defensive ends. They're having project in college. You look around the league, just the opposite's happening in New York with the Jets and their 3-4. You know, 2 years ago, Vernon Golston was a top five pick, and he started at outside linebacker, and now they're moving him down. Or 2008, he was a 6th pick overall. Excuse me, he wasn't a top five pick, but same difference. I mean, 5 and 6, it's a top pick, and they had him at outside linebacker, and just last week, they are moving him back down to defensive end in the 3-4. So that's just kind of an interesting interesting guy that's doing the opposite of what you asked there, Marty. So it's a great question, and I think that ultimately how long does it take a player? It depends on that individual player. We go one more question here. We'll go from Ben in Wichita, home of Gabe in Wichita, a Chiefs live follower. Gabe, big shout out to you if you are listening down there in Wichita. But Ben, your question reads, what needs do the Chiefs still have after free agency, the draft, and the college free agent process? Is there still time to pick up guys if we need them, and how does that work? Well, Ben, it's open season. Every week is free agency week. There will be a time where, quote, the unrestricted free agency period ends. That's more of a term than anything, because if the guy's on the street, the guy's on the street, and the Chiefs can go out and get them. As far as their needs, I think that Chiefs fans would circle right now the nose tackle position, not necessarily for any alarm at Ron Edwards, but more of the time they're asking Ron Edwards to play. After Tank Tyler was dealt to Carolina last year, you had Ron Edwards going from a 20-25 play a game player, which is probably the ideal situation for a man of his size, all the way up to a 50, 55, 60 snap per game guy. And that's probably more than you want out of your nose tackle, whether it be Ron Edwards or anybody else. And part of that problem was there was just no there was no suitable backup at the time. You remember Kenny Smith, that marriage was very short. He came in, the Chiefs released him, and then you had Derek Lokey later in the year trying to fill in. You had Deion Gales was giving a shot, and you also had McGee. And the last two of those guys, Alex McGee and Deion Gales, they also played defensive end. So these are guys that were just kind of in there helping out when they could. So I think the Chiefs, they addressed that a little bit with Sean Smith. And Romeo Crennel knows a lot more about that guy than Chiefs fans do right now, and probably a lot more about the guy than a lot of people in the organization do. And we'll see if that's maybe the answer to rotate with Ron Edwards. But obviously with the John Henderson news last week, there is still a look out to, or at least it's viable to think that the Chiefs will go out and still be active in finding something on their defensive line. And if they find it a defensive end, there's always the possibility of Glenn Dorsey shifting down to the nose tackle position. I wouldn't think it would be a full-time permanent slot, but you never know. But there's also, he could do something like an Alex McGee to give Ron Edwards a blow. If you have a guy like Wallace Gilberry, if he continues to play the defensive end position, you've heard rumbles of him possibly trying out some outside linebacker. We'll see when OTAs open up, and then if you can have a development of a guy like Alex McGee who can go in at a defensive end spot if Glenn Dorsey moves down for a few plays to give Ron Edwards a blow, that could be a possibility. People don't realize that during last season, when Glenn Dorsey was healthy, he was on the field for virtually every defensive snap. There were two guys, when healthy, that rarely left the field. One was Mike Vrabel, and the other was Glenn Dorsey, which is pretty amazing if you think of the conditioning and the shape that he came in, and he was being criticized for that last year at the beginning of the year. And then by the time the season came around, this is a guy that they would not take up off the field. And when he wasn't on the field, you saw what happened, especially in that game against Cleveland, where they were just running right at this post that that Glenn would normally be at, and they had a lot of success running the ball. So I think that's one need, Ben. And then the other need, I think, that most Chiefs fans would think, and I think a little bit internally based off of, I guess you got to wait and see how they use Derek Johnson, is the inside linebacking core just seems to be missing a thumper. I mean, DeMario Williams led the team in tackles, and I thought he did a fine job last year doing it. But in the 3-4 defense, you see a lot of these Mike backers who are covered up being bigger guys than DeMario. And you see a lot of the weaker side guys being more built like DeMario Williams. We talked about it in our pre-draft looks with a guy like Brandon Spikes out of Florida. People thought he'd fall farther than he did. He ended up going in the second round to New England. But that's the type of guy, a bigger guy who doesn't necessarily need to be a blazing speed type guy. That's more of a thumper is what they call him, a thumper backer. So he can go in and take on those guards and centers that are coming out, taking on the fullbacks at the next level and freeing up things for your Will backer and obviously if you have a safety coming in inside the box. So I think those are two decent needs. Obviously the Chiefs did not feel the edges on the offensive line were of immediate need right now. There was offensive tackles at both 36 and 50 that were ranked, who knows where they were ranked on the Chiefs draft board, but they were certainly ranked somewhat highly on Mike Mayock's board when the Chiefs selected at 36. Only five offensive tackles were off the board, and you had some pretty effective names in there, guys that people thought, like a Charles Brown, that can come and compete. Vlad Dukas was out there. Obviously, Bruce Campbell, who fell all the way down a lot farther in the draft in the second round in 36, were there. So the Chiefs passed up on the offensive lineman outside John Osemoah, and you could think that maybe they're pretty comfortable with Brandon Albert and with Ryan O'Callaghan at the tackle position. That wraps up Seren's mailbag. So thanks to Bruce in Blue Springs, Marty in Lincoln, and Ben in Wichita. Three states of the Chiefs kingdom are represented right there. And we'll get back with more Red Zone right after this on KCChiefs.com.
The Red Zone with Seren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20, he's going to outrace everyone in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine that studies directly linked team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back to the Red Zone here on kcchiefs.com. Fresh from the workout and right here in studio, Chiefs cornerback Brandon Carr joins us here on the Red Zone. Brandon, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, over a month into workouts, what's this offseason program been like?
It's been a grind. Coach expressed early how he wanted us to compete and, you know, work hard and give it our all each time and just try to stack a good performance on top of a good performance. And then hopefully that translates into when we go out there on the field. And, right now he just says when it's time for us to go out there for OTAs, he wants us to be the best in shape that we can be so we can put on a good show out there.
For you personally, what are some areas that you focused on for improving your game? There's obviously always times where you want to improve certain things and always pushing to get better and better. But if you had to focus on one aspect of your game, what are you focusing on right now?
I think just my quickness and reaction time. Last year, it was kind of a difficult year, I think. I didn't really play as good as I thought I could, but I just been watching film, me and Flowers and some of the other DBs, getting in there watching film, not only watching ourselves, but other guys, and, just seeing how they react to different things, situations, whatnot. So I'm just trying to get like cat-like out there, just all about reaction.
You mentioned you didn't think last year was quite as good. I don't think you had an issue with reporting in shape as some of your teammates did, and Coach Haley talked about last year at the program at this time. Obviously, you're the only player of the 2008 draft class who has started all 32 games that you've played, and so in shape's never really been an issue for you guys. But if you compare this year to last year, because we've heard from Coach that there's been great attendance, the guys reported in shape, what do you think the difference is, but that a year makes?
It was just, the first year we didn't know what to expect. Now guys have a feel for what Coach Haley is looking for, the offseason program. Before we left, he always stressed to us, don't get too big, don't put on too many pounds, and when you come back, it's going to be hard to get them off. So, guys maybe put on maybe 5 or so pounds and came back ready to work. Guys got after it kind of earlier because they knew what to expect, and it's going to be a grind. A lot of guys have come to the 7:30 session. That's mm-hmm. odd because, we had a 7:30 and a 10. Most of the guys, get up late. But guys are eager to be out here and eager to work. So they come to the 7:30 and we just go out there and get after it.
Chiefs cornerback Brandon Carr joining us here on the Red Zone on kcchiefs.com. Brandon, the rookies just got done with their on-field work at the rookie minicamp. Probably something you remember from a few years ago. But workouts are still workouts. So are you chomping at the bit for May 17th to get here and actually start OTAs and getting some – you guys are catching balls and doing some things on your own, but then you actually get to get on the field and do some practicing.
That's what we love to do. We love to play football. So guys are just, chomping at the bit like you said. But we know this time right here is very important, to come out the gate strong and also finish strong. So, we just focus on this offseason workout right now. And then when it's time to get out there, we're going to get out there and hit it full speed.
One thing we've heard a lot about from Coach Haley this offseason is improving the younger guys in-house. Obviously, you would fit that category. Brandon Flowers would. Your Glenn Dorsey's, your Tysons. There's a lot of young players on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball that are looking to improve. Coach has talked about, it's good to add talent through the draft, good to add talent through free agency, but ultimately for a team to take that next step and continue that success, it's those young guys in-house that have to improve. Has he been pounding that into you guys too?
Since the day he got here, we are, pretty much the future of the team, and it's up to us to, control our own destiny out there. As hard as you work and as hard as we prepare, that's going to determine what's going to happen out there in the field. And he always said that, he's going to constantly bring in competition. So, each day or each week is going to be a new guy coming in for your spot, and that's only helping us, making us better to go out there and compete more.
Well, along that same line, your third season, it's going to be your third defensive coordinator this year. You had Gunther and then obviously Clancy last year and now Romeo Crennel. How does that affect you?
For a corner, I don't think it's really that hard because, we just man, cover two, cover three, cover four. But as far as different terminology and stuff, it's going to change. You know, that's all part of the game, is how fast you can adapt to certain situations. You know, that's why we're getting in there now early. You know, we have chemistry because, you know, most of the guys have been together, you know, since last season. You know, we just watch film and just go over the things that we're going to do when we start OTAs.
Chiefs cornerback Brandon Carr joins us here on the Red Zone. If you compare last year's 3-4 system to this year's under Romeo, from Clancy Romeo, obviously there's still a base defense is the same, but there has to be some major difference. Would you say that the terminology right now, without it stepping on the field obviously for practice, is the main thing you guys are dealing with?
Terminology, yeah. That's the first thing out there, you know, communicating pre-snap, you know, just learn your certain roles and your certain drops and stuff within the defense.
When you talked about competition, I look, there's now 15 defensive backs on this roster since Chiefs draft Eric Berry, Javier Arenas, Kendrick Lewis. Is the sense of competition, is it heating up inside that locker room too?
The locker room, everybody's cool, but, you know, once we step outside the locker room, you know, in the weight room, we out there pushing each other. You know, mostly DBs work out with each other, and we out there running. You know, we racing and stuff, you know, just talking stuff, having fun. But, you know, it's all good, fun competition. You know, we all have a common goal, and that's to win football games and become, you know, the best athletes that we can be out there. So, I mean, may the best man win. We all going to push each other to our limit.
Well, the interesting aspect of those 15 defensive backs, you can make a realistic argument of 11 or 12 of them being able to play multiple positions. You, with your size, I think you'd go into that argument that would be fair of a guy who could possibly play different roles. How comfortable are you playing, let's just say hypothetically, if they asked you to move inside and play nickel or come up in the box and be a guy who's more physical off the edge from a corner position? How are you able to adapt?
Whatever is needed, you know, I'm in here with open arms. You know, I'm just ready for whatever role, whatever, you know, position they put me in. You know, I'm just going to learn as much from the coaches that we have in our meeting room right now. Are two great coaches, so I'm pretty sure they're going to teach us up really well. And whatever you need me to do, I'm going to have to go out there and execute it.
Chiefs cornerback Brandon Carr with us here on the Red Zone on KCChiefs.com. I mean, you guys really haven't, Brandon, had any time with the rookies, I guess, on the clock. You know, here they you guys were off this weekend while they were having their mini camp and workouts. They're back at their schools or hometowns until May 16th. Have you been able to meet any of them off the field at all?
I haven't met any rookie yet. You know, I talked to Eric Berry a couple times, you know, via Twitter. But other than that, no, right. I haven't met any rookies yet.
Well, that's the interesting point, is you say you've met him via Twitter. Now, Eric and Brandon Flowers, the guy who you have a lot of camaraderie with in the defensive backfield, trained this offseason, you know, kind of just way that things worked out in Delray Beach, Florida. Brandon's obviously hometown there, and that's how Eric was preparing for the draft. With your relationship with Flowers on the field, and now Berry and Flowers kind of at least knowing each other, at least on the basic level, do you think that can improve a defensive backfield with guys that are already well acquainted with one another?
Oh, no doubt. You know, just the chemistry is very important out there. We're the last line of defense. And, you know, if we don't trust each other, if we're not familiar with how each other play, then it's not going to work out there.
Well, one of the guys you're going to meet is a fellow D2 player, Michael Johnson, a linebacker from a place you're very familiar with, North Alabama, Florence, Alabama, home of the Division II National Championship game. And what do you remember from those National Championship years?
Man, Northwest Missouri, they are a pretty good team. You know, it was very competitive my 2 years there, and the thing that stuck out the most was that the 2006 championship. You know, I got an interception, but aside of all that, it was just the road to get there was so tough. You know, we had to target the bullseye on our back the whole year, and you know, they put up a great fight. But you know, by the grace of God and us, you know, preparing, you know, we came out here the victor. So that 2006, you know, sticks in my head the most. That was the first time I ever cried. You know,
yeah,
I just broke down on the field because, you know, it was just so overwhelming. You know, just the whole year and now. It resulted in a championship.
Well, I'm trying to piece together my D2 knowledge here and see if you guys would ever cross paths. I think, obviously, you from Grand Valley up in Michigan and Michael playing at North Alabama, you'd have to play each other in the playoffs. And I don't think North Alabama kind of got to that level until recently. So you never played against each other, I assume.
Never played. Northwest is Northwest, North Dakota. those are the teams that we see.
Those are the cross division teams you'd play in the playoffs. What makes your hometown Flint, Michigan, kind of a pipeline of NFL talent? I mean, you were at the D2 school, and you've had guys go D1, and obviously a lot of guys can kind of cross paths and wound up in the NFL from around there.
We started off, the Flintstones, Michigan State, it was deemed like a basketball town. But, my group and before me, coming up, we started playing football and liking it, and I figured, hey, I'm 6 foot. I'm not going to be a point guard in the NBA. So, let me stick to this football thing. But I just think, when we were younger, we looked up to the older guys and we saw their work ethic and how they prepared for certain things and took it serious. That kind of, trickled down to us. And then now the guys that are growing up watching us, they see the same thing. That's why when I try to go back home, I go to my high school, whatnot, go in the weight room, talk to them, lift, actually lift for real, and just show them what it takes to get there to the next level.
Brandon Carr is with us here on the Red Zone. Shifting our attention, Brandon, back to your career here in Kansas City. You've got a new defensive backs coach, Emmett Thomas, obviously someone who carries great history here with the Chiefs organization, a Hall of Famer, has more interceptions than anyone that's ever worn a Kansas City Chiefs uniform, right. I guess, or a Dallas Texans uniform for that matter, the most in franchise history. Just how do you feel about this guy coming in, and are you kind of picking his brain for knowledge?
I'm ready to learn whatever he has to offer, So far, everything is good, He's a coach that's going to back his players out there, and obviously he knows the game. He knows how to find the ball, and that's what we want. We want the ball in our hands, Whenever the ball is in the air, that's when we want it. And with him, his accolades and his career as overall, he's a great cornerback. We're just ready to absorb everything he has to offer to us.
When you guys are in the film room, does he ever kind of give you a reminder? Well, I have more interceptions than anybody here in the franchise. Not yet,
but we'll see in the next couple of months how many times he dropped that line. But not yet.
He's a pretty soft-spoken guy. I don't know if you'll be hearing Emmett Thomas bragging about his picks, but I think it'd be something I'd pull out if I was looking for areas of improvement.
He can always use it.
All right, final question for you, Brandon. 30th ranked defense a year ago. Obviously, across the board, improvements need to be made for 2010. Where do you start?
I mean, for me, I only can worry about, me as a corner and us as a secondary. So I just feel like, once the ball is in the air, it's our job to, either way come away with the interception or knock it down. Eliminate the big plays, the big 30-yard games, pass plays and stuff like that. Just us, we have to come in, just step up to the challenge and say, no, you're not throwing the ball down the field in this year.
Well, I think as a team, you guys have already started the first steps of that with the off-season program and the great attendance and the reviews we've been getting from both Coach Haley and Coach Mike Clark. And now we're just excited to see you guys turn this thing out in spring ball, so to speak, and lead up to training camp. I believe today marks, I think it's 99 days till training camp or 100 days. It's right around there. So it's
right around the corner, huh?
Yeah. All right, man.
Ready to go.
Thanks for joining us here on KCChiefs.com. We'll be right back after this, Chiefs fans, here on the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job. And we'll win this game, and the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader Squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at KCChiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome back to the Red Zone. While the chat rooms and forums here on KCChiefs.com sure have been active, for those of you that catch us live, we've got a live cover live chat room where your voice can be heard, and the voices have been heard throughout the hour-long show here on KCChiefs.com. You can find us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. It's the Red Zone hosted by Soren Petro. I'm Josh Looney, filling in for an absent Soren Petro as he welcomes in a new member of his family. So we have warm wishes to Soren, and he'll be back with you next week here on the Red Zone. And next week will be 1 week closer to the beginning of the real deal. OTAs open on May 17th. That's just about 2 weeks away. And that's when football really gets started. It's basically spring ball, spring practice. There'll be a lot of competition, and that's kind of the theme this offseason in Kansas City. Creating competition, because competitive football teams are better football teams on the field. And we'll get to know a lot more about these draft picks that we've seen, about these undrafted free agents, which ones have staying power. We might find a little bit about that in these OTAs. And then the guys who can make it through this and make their way to training camp, one of those 80 players under contract, that's when the real fun begins. And that's not too long away either. We just have the month of May, the month of June, and then it's July. And it's training camp in River Falls. I encourage all you Chiefs fans to come out there. Those practices are open. It's not just a portion that's open. You guys can watch the Chiefs train in St. Joseph, Missouri, anytime you want that they're out on the field. You come out there, we'll say hello to you. Thanks to everybody for coming to us on KCChiefs.com today on a Wednesday. And if you are downloading this and listening in the archive or downloaded the iPod podcast version, we appreciate you as well. Chief Live next week and the Red Zone with Soren Petro next Wednesday. We'll see you then on KCChiefs.com.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.